especially to our guests and everyone on the webcast. Some of you don't know me. My name is Dale Yates. But anyway, I wanted to, on a special note before I begin, it's to thank everyone for their prayers, and I've received many cards and phone calls, everyone checking in on me and seeing why I'm playing hooky. But anyway, I appreciate everyone's prayers. I'm doing much better. You know, it's, I never pictured gout being that painful, but it's quite painful. But anyway, enough of that. I wanted to thank everyone for their prayers. I appreciate it very much. Keep tabs on myself here. Well, brethren, what is it? 38 days to the Feast of Trumpets. Of course, that's the next step in God's master plan for salvation. When you get right down to it, Pentecost, which we observed back in May, should be one of the most joyous and festive holy days of the year. Celebrating Pentecost, or the Feast of First Fruits, as it's also called, should be a day we look forward to just as much as maybe even the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I understand that that would be hard to get. It's hard to get more excited about the feast or any other day other than the feast, but we should try to do that. Pentecost is essentially our feast. It's a time that when it pictures the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. And as true followers of Jesus Christ, you know, we receive God's Holy Spirit at baptism. On the other hand, the Feast of Trumpets is a very special day as well. The Feast of Trumpets symbolizes a vast turning point in history, in world history. In a way, it pictures the pivotal changeover between the age of man, darkness, and Satan, to the age of God, the world tomorrow, and the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Brian Button.
Oh, well. What's going to happen on that day is totally unique to anything that's ever happened to this world. The people of this world will not have seen or even heard of anything to remotely match what will happen during the time of trumpets. In fact, most of the inhabitants of this world will not know what is happening. Brethren, someday when that seventh trump sounds, Jesus Christ will return and set foot on the Mount of Olives, and it shall cleave in two. When that does happen, then we'll know the era of Pentecost is over, and the next step in God's plan is here. So in a sense, we're in the era of Pentecost at this time, a time between Pentecost and trumpets. Hence the title for our message today. It's entitled, From Pentecost to Trumpets. Now, why did I use this title, From Pentecost to Trumpets? Well, brethren, as we look at and understand God's plan of salvation, we can see a natural progression, can't we? Just as well, we individually must be in a progression of spiritual growth if we're going to proceed from one step to the next. You know, we can't just be coasting along during this time. You know, oh, well, we're looking forward to the Feast of Trump or our Tabernacles, Trumpets, Atonement, and we've gotten past Pentecost, and we're just drifting along, going with the flow of things. Is that all there is to it? Is that all we have to do is drift along with the flow? Just make it from Pentecost to trumpets? Or do we have work to do? Like Christ said, we must be about our Father's business of preaching the gospel. We must be preparing a people to serve one another and to serve our fellow man and, of course, serve God. We must be doing what we can to make more disciples as God sees fit to call them. Brethren, this here, this time right now, is our time. It's the time God has given us to make ourselves ready for the return of His Son at the appointed time. When God gives us His Holy Spirit, it's special. It's unique. And it's essentially, it's Christ living in us. Having God's Holy Spirit is certainly a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit is a powerful force that has the power and ability to change us. It's God's power in us that helps us grow. And it's God's power, God's Holy Spirit in us, that makes us and gives us the ability to make right decisions in our life, to do the right things as opposed to the wrong things, to listen to God rather than Satan. It's God's power in us that helps us grow and make right choices. It's the power of God's Holy Spirit that will also make trumpets so special when that seventh trumpet sounds. It's the power of God's Holy Spirit that will also make trumpets, you know, different in a special way. Not because of anything we've done or could do, but because of what we possess. His Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. It gives us the ability to understand God's plan, to understand His Word. As we study His Word, the Bible, the Holy Spirit is what gives us the ability to understand. As stewards and vessels of His Holy Spirit, we need to utilize it in our Christian lives. No matter what it is we're doing, we need God's Holy Spirit living in us during this preparation time that we're in right now. We are preparing ourselves for that seventh trump to sound, and either we're going to be raised from the dead, incorruptible, or we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But we have to make ourselves ready. We have to be progressing and growing in our spiritual lives. And that's what I want to address today. God's Holy Spirit is the key that bridges the gap or the time between Pentecost and trumpets. You know, having God's Holy Spirit is the most important thing that we can possess to get us through, to help make us through that journey to trumpets. In Old Testament times, God chose the Israelites to be His people and be the examples of how to fulfill His way of life to the rest of the world. They didn't do such a great job, did they? In fact, they did such a bad job that God ultimately divorced them. Now, we are, you and I, we are to be the example of how to live God's way of life. We are to be the light that shines in every direction. We are to be the light that's and the example to others around the world. Hopefully, we won't disappoint Him the way the Israelites did. In Matthew 5, during Christ's Sermon on the Mount, we're told to be a light to the world and glorify God with our good works. So we have to be about doing good works. Having God's Holy Spirit is the key to helping us fulfill that mission. Can you begin to see just how important and vital Pentecost is, signifying the receiving of God's Holy Spirit? And also, can you see how just as important is how vital trumpets is at that time that we're either changed, you know, or raised from the dead? Notice the teaching of Paul, if you will, in Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. You know, some translations render this as no longer having a sinful nature. You know, can you imagine what that's going to be like? Not ever having any more a sinful nature, not having a desire or a weakness to do the things that are wrong. not have to worry about sinning? Because with God's Spirit, we can resist sin. Going on, you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, pay close attention, he is none of his. I hope we understand the magnitude of that statement. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to him. Drop down to verse 11. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit is an essential aspect of the biblical definition of a Christian. In other words, only those who are led by God's Spirit have the ability or the access to eternal life. In verse 14, Paul defines the Christian very clearly. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you have God's Holy Spirit and you're allowing it to lead you and direct you in every way, every day, every hour of that day, then you're a Christian. It's abundantly clear that the Holy Spirit plays a major role in the lives of Christians. Hopefully it plays a major role in the lives of us, each and every one of us. Let's look at some characteristics or roles of the Holy Spirit that will help us in our journey to trumpets. And it will help us to make that next step in God's plan of salvation. And as we go through these attributes, I think we'll come to see and understand the big picture of just how important it truly is. And I firmly believe God knew that we would need help along the way. As we're endeavoring in our lives to make it from Pentecost to trumpets, God probably knew that, well, these weak, human, frail humans, they're going to need help, a lot of help. Or maybe he was thinking about me because I need a lot of help, but I firmly believe that he knew that we would need it to endure to the end. What does it say? He that endures to the end shall be saved. Well, probably the first and foremost benefit of the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Please turn now to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Here the Apostle Paul is pretty much describing the white horseman of Revelation 6, which symbolizes conquest or power or to conquer. He tells them in verse 5, don't you remember that when I was with you before I warned you of these things? You know, he's like, are you kidding me? You've already forgotten everything that I've told you? Were you even paying attention? So he's kind of like, you know, fussing at them a little bit. And down in verse 13, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the eternal, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Brethren, thank God, and I say that with all respect, thank God that we've been chosen and we've been set apart by his Holy Spirit. Now let's go to, and Romans, stay in Romans, let's go to, go back to Romans. Go back to Romans and chapter 15 and verse 16. That's my cocktail I had made before services. Romans 15, verse 16, Paul says, by the grace of God, I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know it means to set apart for a specific reason. Brethren, we've been called for a reason. We've been chosen for a specific reason. We've been given God's Holy Spirit for a specific reason. To make holy in the eyes of God by receiving His Holy Spirit. Let's look at, in regards to this, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. Here Peter is addressing the Christian Jews that had been driven out of Jerusalem. And he said, and Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is in verse 1, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, which is to say, the called out ones, the chosen ones, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You know, that's saying a lot in that scripture. But we've been set apart and given the awesome responsibility to preach the gospel during these last days. Brethren, will we answer that call? Will we respond and fulfill the purpose we've been given through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit? And you know what? We have got to get busy because, you know, we don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much longer we're going to be here. You know, this world is changing awful fast. Things could happen really fast. So we have to be ready because we don't know the hour or the day. And we can't let our Father down, can we? He's more or less depending on us. I mean, He's called us for that purpose, to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel to the world. He's given us His Holy Spirit to help us do just that. God has equipped us with gifts to help us. The question is, are we using God's Holy Spirit to help us get through the period from Pentecost to trumpets? Well, I hope we are. We can't do it on our own. And hopefully none of us will try to do it on our own. There are some that have said that they're going to do it on their own. He knew us, that we were weak and feeble humans and that we would need help. It would be impossible for us to fulfill our mission without His Spirit empowering us every day, each day, all day long. He knew that we would need that. Number two, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Before Jesus was crucified, He spent a lot of time with His disciples and shared many things with them, of course, when they weren't sleeping. But during those last cruel hours, He talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. He wanted them to know that they would not be alone, even though He was leaving them. Jesus told them this in John 14, verse 15 through 18. So, you know, Jesus was aware that He would soon die and leave His disciples. Knowing that, He instructed them about the power soon to come upon them. John 14, verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. You know, what's hard to understand about that? If you love Me, keep My commandments. And it's not just seven of them or not just nine of them. It's every one of them. Most of the world can't even grasp even a simple command like, if you love God, keep His commandments. Why is that so hard for the world to understand? Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that will abide with you forever. You know, that's very comforting to know, because we know Satan is our accuser before the Lord, day and night. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. You know, just as the people are, as we heard from the sermonette about people that are ill, that are sick, that are going through trials and hardships, God's Holy Spirit will be our comforter. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's awesome. That promise, I will come to you. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit would be there to help, strengthen, and nurture. And it will do the same for us. God's Holy Spirit gives us assurance that we don't have to unduly worry about life's troubles. We don't have to worry whether we live or die, because our promise is there for us to have at the right time. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 14. Second Corinthians 1, verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? The Holy Spirit, by flowing through us, equips us better to serve and comfort those who are enduring trials and hardships that we heard about in the sermonette. We need to utilize God's Holy Spirit to help comfort others that are enduring trials and hardships, that have lost loved ones, that have loved ones that are very ill and sick. It breaks my heart to hear that these people that are suffering so, but we know that their crown is waiting for them. It helps us not only give comfort to others that are going through these trials, but us as well. It helps us if we're going through these trials and hardships. So number three, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. This is very important. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. Have you or do you have problems in your prayers that you sometimes find it hard to know what to pray for or how to say it? Look at Romans 8, 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, maybe sometimes we find it hard to express ourselves. You know, we might find it hard when praying to God, knowing the right words to say. Are we praying in a right way? Are we praying in a humble but yet approaching the throne of God in a bold way? He wants us to come to him. If we do, God's Holy Spirit will help us when we pray. Makes intercession for us. Verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, brethren, we can be comforted in that when we feel frustrated in our prayers, when we just don't know what we need to say or how to say it, and are we saying it from the heart? If we can be comforted in that when we feel frustrated in our prayers or don't know what to say, the Spirit of God is praying at a deeper level than us. God knows what's in our hearts, and he also knows what we need and what we don't need. You know, sometimes God allows us to go through trials and hardships that sometimes makes us hard. We can become frustrated, and, you know, we're human. We can be discouraged and even to the point of depression. You know, pain has an effect on our bodies like that. It can cause us to get discouraged and depressed. Jude 20 hits that we should let the Holy Spirit prompt us during our prayers. Pray that we become better prayers. And, you know, the old saying, practice makes perfect. You know, praying more to God, maybe we'll become a better prayer. We need to be close to God through our prayers so that we are walking on the right path to trumpets instead of off in some other direction. We've taken a wrong turn. The Holy Spirit will always help us and guide us through whatever it is that we're enduring. Number four, God's Holy Spirit unites us as His first fruits. You know, we just observed Pentecost last May, and we know God chose the day of Pentecost to begin His new covenant church by sending His Holy Spirit to those few initial disciples. God knew He would need His we would need His Holy Spirit to get us through from Pentecost to trumpets. We know it's hard now. You know, imagine our life. Can you imagine your life without God's Holy Spirit? The different trials and the different hardships, the different decisions that have to be made. How much better it is to have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We would be helpless, powerless against the God of this world. You know, Satan would just have his way with us, be using us in a negative way instead of God using us in a positive way. God uses His Holy Spirit to unite us in manifold ways. That's what unites us in the body of Christ, is His Holy Spirit. Think about it. Without God's Holy Spirit, His church essentially would not exist. Through the Holy Spirit, we're effectually united with Jesus Christ and God the Father. You know, that's the foundation of the church, with Jesus Christ, of course, you know, being the chief cornerstone. God's Holy Spirit, as given first on the Feast of Pentecost, is the mortar of God's church. It's what holds us together. It's what unites us. Through the Spirit, we have access to God the Father. Jesus is the rock, the foundation of our salvation, and the one upon which all the other parts of the church are erected. You know, a sure sign God's Spirit is operating in a group, a church, even a person or whatever, is love and unity abound. That's the first sign of whether or not you're a true church of God, or whether you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, is that we exude love and unity. Brethren, let's help one another, serve one another, love one another. That's the way we'll make it to trumpets, serving and helping each other. That's the way we may help someone else get there, and it may in turn help us as well. Let's get there together. Let's be united in our mission. Let's allow God's Holy Spirit to unite us and allow it to be the guiding force in our lives. Well, the next attribute, I only have 12 more. No. What? No. Number five, I think that's number five. The Holy Spirit keeps us in contact with God's mind. It keeps us in contact with God's mind. You know, God's Spirit works in conjunction with our mind. The Apostle John describes it this way. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. Through God's Holy Spirit, we are influenced by him for the good. It means we are influenced by the Holy Spirit to make the right decisions in life, to do the right things, to not yield to temptations. God's Holy Spirit helps us to not do that, to yield to those temptations, those fiery darts that Satan slings at us from time to time. Allowing God's Holy Spirit to guide us will override our sinful human nature. We must lend our hearts and minds to God's Holy Spirit to help us in our journey, to make it to trumpets, whether we're resurrected or whether we're changed instantly. Please turn to John 16, John 16. In verse 13, John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, God's Holy Spirit helps us to come to a deeper understanding of God's truth. Please come now to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 through 13. Here in this passage, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth about not getting too impressed with eloquence and intellectual ability of others. He says in verse 9, but as it is written, eyes hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know these things that are freely given to us of God. In verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So to understand spiritual things, we must be led by something spiritual called the Holy Spirit. Without God's Spirit, a person can't understand God's divinely expressed word and will. Without that, we won't get far. Sort of like batting our head against the wall. The final verse here in 1 Corinthians, or I want to read verse 14 from the NIV in 1 Corinthians 2. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. You know, that's a very significant statement. Without God's Holy Spirit, the man without that Spirit does not accept the things from God. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So a person without God's Holy Spirit simply won't appreciate and comprehend the things of God. It's because the spiritual things have been scrutinized and proven. In modern terms, they've been vetted, haven't they? They've been fact-checked. So another way, number six, that the Holy Spirit helps us, God's Holy Spirit teaches us all things. His Holy Spirit teaches us all things. So what role does the Holy Spirit play in teaching us? Let's go back now to 1 John 2, verse 27. 1 John 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it was has taught you, you shall abide in him. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us and helping us to get from Pentecost to trumpets? Without God's Holy Spirit to teach and guide us, you know, wouldn't we be lost? If we couldn't understand the Bible, what God's word, you know, we would be lost. We would be in the dark. But God's Holy Spirit is the light of our path. You know, I've often wondered, why are there so many books that out there that you can buy that try to teach us what the Bible says, what it means, what it's not saying or saying? You know, there's thousands and thousands of books written to try and teach us how to live. You know, there's well-written books, good books that can teach us about, you know, marriage or rearing children or getting jobs, how to train yourself, whatever. There's all kinds of books, and I don't have anything against those. But why don't we just read and study the Bible for what it says? In other words, if we're going to turn to some of these books, we have to make sure that they match up to what God's word is saying. And then depend on God and his Spirit to lead us and teach us what we need and know and understand. As we read and study the Bible, you know, ask God to guide us with his Holy Spirit. You know, as you do your study, hopefully every day, but make sure you pray and ask God to guide you and help you in your study. You know, that when you're reading and studying, that you're able to comprehend and understand it. In the book of John, chapter 14, it makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. John 14, verse 26, I'll just read it. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things," not some things, he will teach you all things, "and bring all things to your remembrance." He will help us to remember those things. God's Holy Spirit in our brain, you know, that we possess, will help us to remember what we're learning, what we're studying. "Whatsoever I have said unto you," you know, certainly this would have been crucial for the writing of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit would make it possible for the writers of the New Testament to remember and to know what to write. Or maybe they were good note takers. They would have the ability to put on scrolls all the things that we would need to be able to live by. For all that would follow them, and for our purpose and benefit today. What would the church be without, you know, this book to lead us and guide us? If we just showed up here every week and someone talked about whatever, you know, but we're here to learn about God's word, aren't we? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 2. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." You know, that's so very thankful that we have, you know, we don't have the spirit of the world. "But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." So don't allow yourself to depend on what man is teaching. Look at our universities and schools today. The children, the students go there and they become indoctrinated. They aren't taught. You know, you listen to some of these kids, when I call them kids, I guess relative to my age, but the college students, they can't name the capital of any state, or they can't name who was there to sign the Constitution. simple questions like that. One person was asked, who is the vice president? They couldn't even name him. You know, they're indoctrinated. They aren't taught what they, you know, necessarily go there for, to be taught, you know, to a occupation or whatever their line of study is. But God's Holy Spirit helps us understand his word. This is wisdom from God rather than wisdom from man. No amount of human knowledge, now pay close attention, no amount of human knowledge can ever replace the knowledge given to us through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. No amount can replace the teaching of God's Holy Spirit. Our next point ties in well with what we just covered, and it's number 7, and it's our final point. God's Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. God's Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, back a few pages. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But all this work that one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man as he will. You know, God gives certain gifts to respective people. But the important thing to remember is he gives gifts to all of us. Each and every one of us sitting here today have different spiritual gifts. You know, some of us may have the same spiritual gift, but we have spiritual gifts. Look at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of those tongues. Of course, an important thing for us to remember is that these gifts are given to us for a greater purpose than ourselves. You know, God's spiritual gifts aren't necessarily given to us for our benefit. They're given to us for others. You know, our benefit should be going out from us, serving one another. Look up at verse 7. And I want to read it from the NIV. It says, now each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So in other words, Paul's telling us, even though we have been given special spiritual gifts, these gifts are intended to what? They're intended to build up the church, to edify the church. They're there to lift up and edify the church. God intends these gifts to be used to serve each other for the common goal of living a life that pleases God and Jesus Christ. You know, I want to, just from a personal note, I think, you know, we just lost what I believe a pillar in our congregation. She served the church, the brethren here in this area for many, many years. A lot of things she did was behind the scenes. You know, sometimes we don't know how much we appreciate someone until they're gone, or when they're no longer fulfilling their responsibilities. And I believe that Holly had a lot of gifts. She probably had more than what was visible, but she served this congregation for many, many years. And she is one person that I believe really utilized the gift that God gave her to be able to organize, to be able to serve the brethren each and every week. I share to guess, I hesitate to guess how many hours a week she put in serving the brethren in this congregation. So anyway, we're going to miss her. I just wanted to say those personal notes, but you know, God never intended to be these gifts, as I said, to be used for selfish reasons. You know, which of course was the case in Corinth. We can't be guilty of doing that. We can't be using the gifts we've been given for the wrong reason. You know, as I said, our gifts are to be used for the build-up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If we're doing them for the wrong reason, if we're doing them for popularity or to get your name in the position or whatever, we can't be guilty of doing that. We can't be using the gifts we've been given for the wrong reason. If we do, we're hindering our progress and goal of completing our trip from Pentecost to trumpets. You know, we can't, we're taken away from the gifts that we've been given if we're using them for the wrong reason. Brethren, do you know what spiritual gifts you've been given? You know, sometimes it's hard to know what they are or to visualize maybe how God is using you. And I know and understand we all want to be used for specific purposes. If we don't know what our spiritual gifts are, we need to search for them. We need to ask for them. We need to pray that God would reveal them to you so that you can use them better for the uplifting and for the edification of the body of Christ and our fellow man, not just one another here. How can we use the gifts we've been given if we don't even know what they are? How can you be fulfilling that gift? You know, the Bible, of course, lists multiple gifts, and we certainly can't think too highly of ourselves just because we have a particular gift. We have to remain humble. And all of these gifts, just as all parts of our bodies are needed to function, these gifts are needed for the churches, for the God's church, to properly function. You know, our body has hands and feet and legs, you know. If our hand was on our one end of our one leg and or doing whatever, it wouldn't function properly. So just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ, which consists of each and every one of us that has God's Holy Spirit. You know, Paul tells us the unity that exists in our bodies, all members working for the good of all, must also exist in the church. It's only through Jesus Christ that true unity can exist. So if God has given us these gifts, and he has given each of us gifts, do them to the best of your ability. Find out what they are. Search for them. Pray for them. But do them with the right motive and purpose in your heart. Brethren, God's gifts are given to us for his glory. And of course, everything should be done for the glory of God. Let's share these spiritual gifts with each other as we're admonished by the Apostle Paul. You know, he wants us to use these gifts, but again, he wants to use them for the right reasons. Don't worry about those gifts you don't have. You know, pay close attention to the gifts that you do have. These gifts that God has given to each of us are going to help us complete our journey. So utilize the gifts that God has given you. Brethren, that's what it's all about. Hearing that seventh trump or being raised when Christ returns. Making it one way or another to hear that seventh trump is of utmost importance. So I think it's plain to see just from these few aspects of God's Holy Spirit, it's so important and vital to our success in completing our voyage. I call it a voyage or a journey or a trip to the Day of Trumpets. We looked at some of the roles of the Holy Spirit and then talked about how the Holy Spirit benefits us. We saw that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and sets us apart from the rest of the world. It is our comforter and it encourages us. It also is our great intercessor, and God's Holy Spirit unites us as his called out first fruits. We know that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things And finally, it gives us spiritual gifts and abilities. Brethren, we're now living in the age of first fruits. It's a time during which God is preparing a special chosen people to reign with Christ in his kingdom. It's our preparation time. Are we getting ready? Are we preparing ourselves? Are we forging forward to make it to trumpets? Are you part of that group? Will you be a part of that group that makes it to that last trump? Are we in our spiritual race to finish it? Will we be resurrected when that trumpet sounds for all the world to hear? Or will we be those that are still alive and remain and be changed in the twinkling of an eye? Brethren, try to imagine what it might feel like as your physical body is totally imbued with God's Holy Spirit and you're totally changed. It's the moment when you're changed from a physical human being into a wonderful spirit being with no limitations. Try to imagine what that transition might feel like. I know we can't, because we've never felt it. But I want to feel that. I want to experience that, and I hope you do too. But we have to make it there. We have to make it from Pentecost to trumpets. And brethren, it's not a passive trip. It's a test. We must be active in our life in God's church. It's going to take a lot of hard work to get from Pentecost to trumpets. It might not be this year, but then next year we have the time between Pentecost to trumpets. We have to remain committed and dedicated to the work of God. Are you up for it? Can God and Jesus Christ depend on you to make it? Are you going to let them down like the Israelites did? We need God's Holy Spirit to help us get there. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, teach, guide, motivate, and inspire us to make sure we do make it. You will be, I will be, we'll all be if we heed the advice of the counsel of the Apostle Peter. He admonished us in 2 Peter 1, verse 10. You don't have to turn there. He says, to be even more diligent to make our calling and election sure. Adam Clark, in his commentary of this verse, he says, quote, to be deeply careful, to labor with the most intense purpose. He says, you've been chosen, so make that calling firm, solid, and then hold fast to it, unquote. We can help do that by cultivating the talents and abilities that God's Holy Spirit gives to each and every one of us. Brethren, how great is our loving God? How great is our Father? How great is our loving brother and Savior, Jesus Christ? Through them, all things are made possible. The work that God has started in us will be able to be finished through the greatest gift that could ever be made available to humankind. The mind of Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit. Thank God for his master plan pictured by his holy days. Brethren, as we endeavor to make it to the Feast of Trumpets, let's remember to thank God over and over again every day of our life for the gift, for the great gift of his Holy Spirit. Without it, where would we be? Brethren, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't ever, ever give up. Let's be diligent. Let's be earnest and strong. Let's be dependent on God's Holy Spirit to help us complete our journey. He will help us, brethren, but we have to seek his help. So that one day, hopefully soon, our journey from Pentecost to trumpets will be finished. As Paul says, our race will be finished. What a glorious day to look forward to, and Godspeed that day.